The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We begin this final hour with our impact segment. 20 plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. I got four emails in the last 5 minutes. Hey, are you going to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop? We may. We may get into it later in the hour. Phone lines are also wide open to you. 888-955-5552. All of a sudden, I had a moment like on the golf course. If you play golf at all, you can be playing for weeks and weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden you approach the ball, and it's like you've never hit a club in your hand, never hit a ball with a club in your hand in your life. I had a moment there, like I never gave out the number, like I forgot the number. Goodness, help me, Lord. Hey, I want to begin this segment talking about lockdowns. And obviously, if you're listening to my voice, the majority of you live here in California. And what's going down? What are we doing? How are we addressing these things? And I want to begin with Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick. Now, in March, he was on Tucker Carlson talking about, even back then, the dangers of lockdowns. There's a new survey that indicates about 8 million more Americans have slipped into poverty because of the lockdowns. And so Lieutenant Governor Patrick was on Tucker Carlson last night and shared this.
Lieutenant Governor, great to see you. What do you make of these numbers?
I'm sad to say, Tucker, that the foresight that we presented on your show back in March in large part has turned out to be true, particularly in states run by Democrats. And imagine, Tucker, if Joe Biden had been president during the last 7 months, we would be locked down as a country. The left has taken this virus and they've weaponized it to take control of government, to take control of our lives. It's very clear. And lives have been destroyed. Businesses have been destroyed. The economy has been destroyed, again, particularly in D states. And then the health part of this, the left ignores it. They just ignore it, Tucker. The suicides, the depression, the lack of people getting cancer treatment, the lack of people going in for heart issues. And then if you look at our schools, we are the gap between those who are behind is only getting greater. And by the time we're out of this, we could face, Tucker, a situation where students have lost a full year to a year and a half of school because virtual school just doesn't replace being in the classroom. And so all of this has happened, and I just didn't want to look back in hindsight. I want to have some foresight. I'm not the smartest guy in the room. Don't claim to be. But it was clear to me to see it back in March, 7 months ago this very week, as a matter of fact.
And it's funny. It should have been a tell that something was going on here that was bigger than mere epidemiology, bigger than science. The response to you was so hysterical. I found it confusing at the time. Why are people so angry? It seems like a reasonable point. That's why they were angry, because you were making a reasonable point.
Yes. Well, they were angry also because I said that there are things bigger than us as individuals. And, and they twisted my words to say that I wanted seniors to die. That was ridiculous and just a lie by the left. And by the way, any radical movement that will burn down buildings, topple, statues and loot businesses, they don't mind making up and lying about something someone says, in a campaign stop or on a television interview. So I'm not surprised by the left lying about it. But we should be. As a nation, we should be, as a people, bigger than just who we are. And I simply said, and I did turn 70 this year with my six grandkids, the greatest legacy that we can leave for our grandchildren is the greatness of America, so they can live this American dream. And that's what I still am concerned about, particularly if Biden becomes president. I'm concerned about this entire country being destroyed for something that we now look back on, and we realize the lockdowns were wrong, They should have never happened. This disease has taken lives. But as I said back then, those of us over 70, trust us, we're smart. We can take care of ourselves, protect us, give us all we need. You know, Cuomo didn't do that in New York. He didn't protect the seniors in nursing homes, and we saw what happened. But
that's right.
We did that in Texas. And so protect the seniors, protect their vulnerable, but let everyone get back to work.
That's totally right. You said that then, you're saying it now. It turns out, in the end, the things they claim you should be ashamed of are the very things you should be proudest of, and I hope that you are. Lieutenant Governor Patrick, good to see you tonight. Thank you.
God bless you, Tucker, and America. Thank you.
If you have any comments about Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, again, the numbers are 888-528-2557. What about the lockdowns? What about the state of our state? We'll get to that later on in this impact segment, but I'd love to hear from you. You frustrated? You fed up? Have you had enough? Or do you, in the other extreme, continue to go along with, well, whatever they tell us to do today, we are to do it? 888-528-2557. Here's a story out of the Toronto Sun, a newspaper, obviously, in that part of Canada, written by a doctor who is, on the front lines, at least in part. He has some comments in this piece entitled "Doctor on COVID Front Lines Speaks Out on Why More Lockdowns Are Not the Answer." Dr. Robert Sargent has seen firsthand the challenges of dealing with COVID-19 patients in a hospital setting. As the head of internal medicine at St. Michael's Hospital in downtown Toronto, he's been leading the COVID-19 response. He knows the reality of what's happening on the ground. Sargent is also now speaking out against lockdowns and urging for second wave response efforts to head in a different direction. By the way, as I share more of the story, if you want to comment directly about this story, please know you're welcome to call again, 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557 are the numbers to call. Sargent said, "I was very much for the initial restrictions at the beginning of phase one. I think it didn't help. It did help flatten the curve. We achieved what we set out to achieve." During the beginning of this year, he and his colleagues watched the news, knew they had to do something. Sargent said, "We initially planned back in March as we watched the disaster unfold in Italy. We had contingency plans to accommodate up to 80 patients if need be. So we set up a COVID assessment center, entire COVID ward." He says, "I think we topped out at about 26. Said it was a lot fewer than they had envisioned might happen. Along the way, the medical community learned more about treating COVID-19. Sargent said the average length of stay of patients in the ICU now has come down considerably. We're getting better at managing and treating patients, understand the needs of patients, use of steroids, etc., and what's been effective." He says, "We have this idea now that people go into ICU and never come out. It's not true. People do get better. Sadly, some do still pass, but the majority get out of intensive care. It's for these reasons that Sargent believes a lighter touch is now needed in the approach to COVID-19. Quote, "I am not for additional broad lockdowns," says this doctor. He said, "We need to be looking at high-risk individuals and high-risk settings and indeed focusing our energy on that. And there is still a group that's still very much proponents of driving the number of cases down to zero." Governor Newsom. Sargent says, "I'm not of that view." Says there's a growing chorus of voices that are saying that's not even realistic. It's not practical. It's not feasible. Why doesn't Governor Newsom have green in his little cute color chart? Ask yourself that. Sargent says this is a virus. Virus is spread. It is serious to some. But he says now it's the time to move forward. There needs to be a little bit more of a focus and a shift away from this. It is a reality that we have to live with. We also have to move forward. So here's another man, another doctor, frontline doctor in Toronto, saying no to the lockdowns. Now, the phones are a little quiet. I get that. And I don't want to go down to, you know, some only emotional response. Like, what do you think of the lockdowns? Are you sick of them? No, I don't want to go there. But I will say this, and it's anecdotal, but it's not proof. I've seen more people recently driving on the way to work and back in cars by themselves with masks on. I see, and it may just be happenstance, it may be coincidence, but I see more people with masks on. Is there more fear out there? What about lockdowns? I mean, I know you're listening to me. I've gotten a couple emails. We're, what, six, seven, started the 8 month into this? Remember early on? A couple weeks, just flatten the curve. Have we not done everything that we've been asked? And what about here in California? Now, I want to share a commentary. Many of you have emailed me, can you please reread and send me the link to this? By the way, if you want a copy of what I'm going to read here, just email me, franksontag@kkla.com, and I'll send you the link to a commentary entitled Governor Newsom Order on Singing at Gathering Hits a High Sea of Ridiculousness. What about the latest order? Do we abide by it? I really want to hear from you. 888-528-2557. Let me read the commentary and then we'll take some calls at the end of this impact segment. The website is californiaglobe.com. We began this with Lieutenant Governor from Texas, Dan Patrick, talking about poverty. This commentary features a photo of a young man. He's got a mask on, and it reads, "Poverty is deadlier than coronavirus." What do we do about this? Ken Kirsten writes, "California Globe's story last week about the governor's new order, which limits gatherings to three households under 2 hours with no singing, has become one of the most read stories and especially tweeted in this site's history. One of the most common reactions has been, this is not from the Babylon Bee, right? Refers to the idea that legislating gatherings in such granular detail could only be satire, which is pretty much what happens at the Babylon Bee site. But Kirsten writes, no, if you read the actual document, it's called Guidance for Private Gatherings. Do you even know about this? I read this last week. This is issued by the state of California, the Health and Human Services Agency. It's signed by Governor Newsom's acting health director, Sandra Shuri. The author of this piece says, when you quickly realize it, it's not funny at all. It's actually terrifying. Now, Katie Grimes writes for California Globe as well. She wrote a piece last week. And the author of this piece says, in fact, for those who imagine that Katie Grimes' story of last week must have been exaggerating the intrusive nature of the issue, it's actually the opposite. If anything, last week's article undersold just what a dystopian, totalitarian picture the actual memo itself paints for California. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. 888-528-2557. Take, for example, the prohibition on singing. This is in our own homes, according to the governor. It's actually formulated as rules for singing, chanting, and shouting at outdoor gatherings. Such a detailed prescription could easily be imagined coming from the Taliban or in a fictional work by George Orwell. But seeing that with the official seal of the state of California on a document, Kirsten writes, should send a chill down any American spine. Quote, people who are singing or chanting are strongly encouraged to do so quietly, at or below the volume of a normal speaking voice. Kirsten writes, presumably the Partridge family would be relieved to learn that. In the document, it also says, quote, musicians must be from one of the three households. But wait, the state even has opinions about the composition of your backyard quartet. Quote, playing of wind instruments. Any instrument played by the mouth, such as a trumpet or clarinet, is strongly discouraged. Really? Kirsten writes, there's also helpful advice for your housekeeping. Quote, all gatherings must be held outside. Attendees may go inside to use restrooms as long as the restrooms are frequently sanitized. Do we really want our state government issuing specific instructions on how we clean our bathrooms? Is this what we signed up for? Elsewhere, we're instructed, quote, a place to wash hands or hand sanitizer must be available for participants to use. In addition to the extreme nanny state prescriptions, more weirdness of this document comes from the number of grammatical mistakes and formatting errors within it. And what's even scarier than the idea that California state government has appointed itself absolute ruler of our most personal and even trivial decisions is that these rules seem to have been codified by an intern and overseen by no one with even elementary grammatical skills, let alone knowledge of the, well, the Constitution. Another jarring aspect of this astonishing directive is the way its instructions are totally at odds with two prevailing trends of California consciousness, equality, and environmentalism. Right? We've heard a lot of that over the years. For a generation, we've been told that inequality and bad ecology are the most serious threats to our state's future. Suddenly, our government tells us that the only families that we can invite are, quote, with enough space so that everyone at a gathering can maintain at least a 6-foot physical distance. Apartment dwellers, those with small backyards, apparently you don't deserve time with your friends and extended family, according to our governor. We also discover, after decades of preaching regarding the need to reuse, that any food or beverages at outdoor gatherings must be in single-serve disposable containers. Remember all that? Kirsten writes, if there's any evidence that plastic forks are less likely to transmit COVID-19 than proper silverware, the state fails to provide it. In fact, in this article, they provide links to the World Health Organization and Harvard Medical School documents that also say nothing whatsoever about that. 6 years ago, California was the very first across the entire country, you may remember, to enact a statewide ban on single-use plastic bags at large retail stores, right? Last year, California passed a ban on the single-use plastic shampoo bottles that we get at hotels. Uh-uh, no more. Does the pandemic somehow eliminate the existential threat we heard for years? We've been told that plastic represents. I guess so. Finally, there's a reason that what we now call pandemic fatigue landed on the front page of a recent article in the New York Times. It's not just the devastation of months and months of lockdown and fear and deaths and impoverishment that have its wrought. It's also the gnawing sense that our leaders are making it up as they go. When our state government issues an official document declaring some musical instruments unacceptable and legislating the volume at which we're allowed to sing, it is rightly seen as arbitrary and ridiculous. And Kersone puts this final emphasis. At some point, pandemic fatigue will be the least of our worries. Outright disobedience, even of practical and reasonable advice, will become inevitable. And Kersone writes, and that's when things will become a lot more dangerous than loud singing and four family gatherings. If you'd like a copy of this commentary, just email me at franksontag@kkla.com. Linda in Laguna Niguel. Linda, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello?
Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Heard you're kind of lonely. I said, I'll give him a call. I just had, a few comments. Ever since all this started, I've been checking on Governor Newsom's website there regarding guidelines about the face mask and face coverings, and it has not changed once since this all started. And regarding face masks and face coverings, there's a link on the web governor.ca.gov. And it takes you right over to the California Department of Public Health, to their guidelines. And there's nowhere on here it says there's a law. It says guidance for the use of face coverings. Guidance about people in California. In the second page, it says the following individuals are exempt from wearing a face covering. There's a big, long list of people who do not have to wear a face mask.
Well, you're breaking the myth that some people embrace that somehow, and you're emphasizing the point, this is not a law. Even though you're seeing some mandates carried out as if somehow it's the law, right? You have local cities pass ordinances where you have a mandatory fine if you're caught without a face mask or whatever. But you're right. The governor, save passing some type of an emergency, this is not law. These are not laws. Thank you, Linda. Scott in Orange. Scott, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hello, Frank. Thank you for accepting my call. I'm a physician and also a pastor. I actually stopped being a physician, being a full-time pastor now. I also have a Master of Public Health degree. So my comment is what you've been saying on this show so far is right on. And actually, WHO, just maybe, I'm not exactly sure how many days, probably within a week, acknowledged this, that lockdown is not the way to stop the spreading of the disease. They acknowledged that. And Sweden, from beginning, it did not do this. Yes, they suffered some a pretty initial mortality, but not as much the prediction by the Birmingham College in London that predicted like 69,000. They ended up like 6,000 dead, and now they're okay. So it's really something we need to learn about this thing is that, as a Christian, what is the message God trying to tell us? That's the key point here for all of us to listen. And you just mentioned about this ICU number are decreasing. They're surviving. Not only they're surviving, they're much less people put into the ICU because they're finding out, just being prostrate position is doing as good as intubation. Actually, intubation in many cases make even worse because you have to paralyze the patient and then makes all kind of complications happen.
Scott, yeah, maybe another time we can talk further. I'd love to ask you about your thoughts about the media reporting. You mentioned the WHO, even the CDC. They seem to change their position every so often, even a 180. But the media seems to be pretty consistent in the ongoing, what I call, fear-mongering. I'd love to hear your perspective another time. Thank you, Scott. We do have a line open, by the way, 888-528-2557. Janice in Los Angeles. Janice, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to the conversation. I moved back to California, and I'm thinking that I'm really not in California. I'm in the Soviet Union. Mm. Some of this stuff is absolutely ridiculous. And I have signed a recall petition in Sinkerland to recall the governor. This man is out of control. This ordinance, every city came out with an ordinance for a guideline, but you don't see no one giving people a mask. I am a victim of COVID. I no longer work because of all the things that have happened. And I didn't used to be in the poverty level. I used to make roughly $89,000 a year. I took good care of myself. Mm. And now I'm staying with relatives who were all sequestered because of this man. And I told him, it's not that bad. They're lying to you. This is all about control and to take away our freedom.
Yeah, I would. Now, I'm not here to say you and I were definitely completely right. But I will align with you and agree with you. I think they derive their power from fear and hysteria. Like somehow, and this has been a tactic since the beginning of time. Those that want to try to accumulate more power, they push fear, right? If we can get the masses to be terrified, we can control them. And if you listen to my program at all, I'm not a big pro-mask person. I think there is some evidence that says in certain situations it may benefit you. There's a whole lot of medical literature that says it doesn't do a whole lot. But I think it's, in some ways, it's like a perverted form of obedience. Like somehow we have to just, whatever is said, the state tells us to do, we do it. And Janice even alluded to, what country do we live in anymore? Total obedience as a matter of morality. Seems like people that make the rules are the ones that ignore them the most. I invite your thoughts and comments, 888-528-2557. And we'll continue with more of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Later in the hour, we are going to circle back and talk a little bit more about the Hunter Biden laptop. I've gotten a few emails from people that aren't too pleased that I'm even covering this. Some of the mainstream has alluded to, well, this is nonsense. This is more of the Russia getting involved. And I'm like, okay. I even had an emailer saying, well, finally, you've realized that you need to apologize for spreading false information. Obviously, there's nothing to this laptop. Well, you might want to stick around. Couldn't disagree with you more. In fact, we'll share some more information. On the impact segment, I talked a little bit about government overreach and lockdowns. Talked about a doctor in Toronto who's on the front lines against it. I read a commentary from California Globe on the most recent dictate from the governor's office. By the way, you know that's for Thanksgiving. Now he's telling us we shouldn't gather on Thanksgiving. These are the times we live, and what do we do about it? Gus in East Los Angeles. Gus, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. How you doing?
Gus, I'm okay.
I'm a first-time caller. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I basically just come and see where we are at in recalling Newsom. I signed a petition. If I have to sign in a million times to get him out, I will do that. But do you know where we are at this moment?
I have no idea. I know... I have also signed the petition. I know scores of people have as well. Maybe that's something I'll look into. If there's even a way to tell how many signatures have been gained, maybe what needs to be attained to somehow push forward. I don't have any answers. In fact, maybe if somebody's listening that has more relevant information and some specifics about what you make mention of, they're welcome to call. And I think it's a good question. Thank you for sharing, Gus. By the way, if you'd like to call, if you do have information about a recall effort, 888-528-2557 are obviously the numbers each and every day. Frank is in Redondo Beach. Frank, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Good afternoon, Frank. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well, thank you. You know, I've always felt that we are God's soldiers, and I feel like just since the pandemic and that, you know, we're just in this evil, good versus evil war that we're in with the government, how they're taking away prayer in the schools and trying to teach the 1619 Project to our children, not letting us praise our Lord and Jesus Christ and our Father. It just seems like they're just trying to put a hamper on everything to take away from us. And I feel if we're going to be God's soldiers, we got to be stronger as Christians and stand up to these things because he wants us to stand up and fight and not just take it and say, hey, oh, you can't do that to us. We can't be, you know, timid in any way. We got to stand up and wear the shield.
Now, when you say that, obviously, fear may not be a dominant factor in your life, but there are a lot of people listening right now. If they're honest, they're like, well, I'm afraid. What would you say if you had a conversation with a good friend when they would say, Frank, you know, I hear you, but I'm really afraid. What do I do?
It's just, God never instilled fear in us. I mean, he wants us to be brave. I mean, what's there to fear? You know, he's given us everlasting life. If you're going down in flames or you're battling, you know, in his word, and you go down, you're going to be in a good place someday. You don't have to worry about that. You have everlasting life. So don't worry about that. That should be, a lot of people have fear of death, but, you know, you don't have to fear death. You can take evil straight on and fight for him and be strong the whole way through. And he's going to guide us. He's going to be our whole foundation.
Frank, I appreciate your call. Thank you for sharing. I'm having a sense of deja vu. This past Saturday, we did a Kingdom Men's Gathering in Newbury Park. Yes, we did it at a church. Yes, we had hundreds of men come out. And part of the message was what Frank just shared. Like, what are we afraid of? Why are some of us, maybe not you, but if you're honest, you, and definitely you, why do we have such an approach to all of this overreach in our state, and we're like, well, I wear a mask, and we shouldn't go back to church now, and hopefully this will be over soon. And look, I mean no disrespect. I think this is a virus to be concerned about for sure, but I think if we're honest, many of us can say, I really don't know the truth absolutely about this, because even the adage, follow the science, what a cop-out that is. We don't follow the science. We're being pushed forth with one narrative, but when you got scores of doctors that say something virtually completely different, they're silenced, they're shut down. Right? The monopolization of technology. In fact, we're going to do a program tomorrow. We had a guest scheduled this hour. His name is Alan Bakari. He's written a book called Hashtag Deleted. It's powerful stuff. He was on Tucker Carlson a couple of weeks ago. I think Alan is coming on tomorrow to talk about tech monopolies and censorship and what's really going on here. Whatever happened to free speech and open debate and civil discourse? You know, when you say follow the science, if that's what you spout off and you're like, you know, this is the way to go, just they know what they're doing. You're not a doctor. You're not a scientist. What? So all scientists have always agreed on everything completely, absolutely, 100% lined up? Again, to be accurate, we got scores of doctors that say, this is not right. Doctors that have treated patients in severe states of COVID. Maybe they're elderly. They have comorbidities. They've treated them. Have we forgotten about the hydroxychloroquine discussion? Or the White Coat Summit in D.C.? The first time we saw major forms of censorship in our country. You've not seen this before. Wake up. Stop being so passive. And, you know, we introduce such things and kind of told a lot. The media, I was recently interviewed, and the host made a point of saying, and I agree with him in spirit, to inform yourself, have a lot of differing viewpoints, and then come to your own decision about things. And he made mention of watching or partaking in a large different cross when it comes to the mainstream, right? Just partake in different sources. And I said to him, look, I'll be honest, man. All the mainstream is kind of the same to me. They all say the same thing. I don't need to go to five different TV channels, right? They all say the same thing. And quite honestly, I question most of what they say. But censorship in America, the shutdown of free speech, or even open civil discourse? We got to wake up. And this is, and I'm not here to be a fear monger. I'm not here to preach doom and gloom. Jesus is absolutely Lord. God is in control. But that doesn't give us a right to just sit passively by and go along with whatever the state dictates. They've shut churches down. Come on, people. January 1st, 2020, new year, resolutions, going to be the greatest year of our lives. And then there are those. There are those pastors that say, okay, early on, I did what government asked, and we didn't quite know what we were dealing with, and some of the early numbers and the predictions and the models were horrifying, and few months into it, it's like, well, sky hasn't fallen. And I love the way the mainstream media keeps it. 220,000 people have died. That's accurate. CDC just a few weeks ago said of that, 9,600 literally have died from COVID-19. Right? Pre-existing circumstances, comorbidities, all these other pre-existing health challenges. No, you just hear that number thrown out, and I'm looking at him right now. He's the reason. President. He's who to blame. He's the reason why so many people have died. He's the reason why the economy is in shambles. Isn't this the same guy that over 3.5 years of the left's onslaught against him from the moment he took over office, our economy was booming? But that's not popular. Right? When we come back, repair shop receipt for Hunter Biden's laptop revealed, the media narrative burns to the ground. Stay tuned. That's next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. A short commentary to end the hour and the program. For those of you that have emailed me and think somehow I've gone the way of the mainstream with the Hunter Biden laptop, like I believe it's Russian influence and it's a scam. Well, you can try this one on for size. This is entitled Repair Shop Receipt for Hunter Biden Laptop Revealed, Media Narrative Burns to the Ground. So much for all those wild Russian conspiracy theories. Hunter Biden's laptop was indeed dropped off at a Delaware repair shop by none other than Hunter Biden himself. A receipt bearing his signature and name for the repair has been revealed, and it's a total backbreaker for the media's narrative. Wait, you're telling me that Vladimir Putin didn't steal Hunter Biden's laptop, implant false emails, and then leak them to the press? Of course, we already have more than enough evidence these emails were real and the result of the younger Biden simply being, misguided. His own lawyer called the shop trying to get the hard drive back. The Biden campaign's non-denial denials are also more than telling. By the way, Joe Biden is in hiding till Thursday. Anyone is still trying to pretend there's any mystery here is astonishing, yet some are. The writer of this piece says, I'm not going to even give them exposure they don't deserve by posting it here. But some blue check marks who responded to this news claims this still doesn't prove the veracity of the emails. I'm sorry, what? Now, not only is having the actual emails themselves released not enough, along with private pictures, videos, and text messages, which further prove authenticity, but even proving their provenance via a dated receipt is not enough. Notice how the goalposts keep moving. Our president was quite literally impeached on less evidence than this. But the media wants to play dumb and suddenly raise their standards to levels that are, one, unattainable, two, never applied to anything to do with Trump or any Republican for that matter. Unfortunately for them, they can't continue with a straight face, at least, to claim this is Russian disinformation. It's clearly, provably not. Emails are real. It's not Putin. The media are absolute nonsense. That's basically where we are. By the way, I read a piece earlier today that Twitter banning the story from the New York Post has actually given it more life. Now, faking a single document in a way that can fool somebody is one thing, but tens of thousands? Seriously? The reality is that much of what has been reported can be independently assessed for veracity, and it has been. There's notes supposedly in Hunter Biden's handwriting. Does the handwriting match with other samples? There are emails to his daughter. Do they use terms and expressions unique to the Bidens? There's financial details that can be checked against already known information. Schedules that can be checked, e-addresses, messages can be cross-referenced. Plethora of all sorts of material that would be difficult for even the best collection of fraudsters to portray believably. Right? 40,000 emails, text messages by the thousands, other documents, dates, times, nicknames, videos, photographs. Boy, them Russians, they are some smart people in that government, right? It's unbelievable. Or, quite believable, there'll be more to it. I have no doubt this laptop is real. And we will see where we go from here. If you'd like to email me, if you'd like a copy of the commentary I read about Governor Newsom and the latest dictate about Thanksgivings in our own homes, just send me an email, franksontag@kkla.com. This is the Frank Sontag Show.